Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. Now, here's your host, CJ.
Hello, everybody. I'm CJ Liu, and welcome to the Fire It Up with CJ show on the Transformation Talk Network. We are so lucky because we get to talk to Lama Surya Das twice within a quarter. Woo-hoo-hoo! I'm so excited to have you here, Lama Surya Das. Thank you for being here.
My pleasure. What happened? Did I get left back?
No,
I have to redo this class?
We have to redo this.
It's like being reborn. If you don't get the joke the first time, you have to come back again.
It's karma,
you get it.
It's karma.
I love you, CJ, and all of your people. You have a great show and a great work in the world, and I enjoyed meeting your husband also when we were in Seattle together.
Yeah, actually, my husband's like, tell him how serious it is. I said hi. So he says hi.
Thank you. Right back at him.
Okay. So today we are going to be talking about, in your book, The Buddha Standard Time, which I love. I seriously love this book. You should see my book. It has, you saw my book when I saw you in Seattle. There's like stickies all over and underlines. This is a wonderful, wonderful book. And that's why we're having two shows on it, because it's that good. And there's a section at the end. I thought, oh, would you talk to me about the bardo and transition? Because I think so many people suffer during difficult transitions. And so that's what this conversation is all about. And in your wonderful book, you actually have now for the internet world, a 7-step process, which I love. You have a 7-step process on how to overcome the grief and suffering to move to a place of clarity and freedom. So in your book, you talk about facing, when you actually go through transition, facing the loss, going through the healthy, necessary steps of grieving. Remember that this too shall pass. Learn the lessons. Practice patience, forbearance. Breathe in and out in step 7, empathy and compassion. Beautiful work. So tell us how we can use this in practice by taking a real life situation. I just had a friend who is going through a difficult divorce. And I was wondering if you can kind of step us through your model and tell us how someone like her could use this model.
Well, I've been divorced and my heart goes out to her. I mean, lamas get divorced too, being human beings and all. That's kind of like a little rebirth, and we have to sometimes let go of the old to leave room for the new to come in and not just look backwards, but, you know, we'll try to get away from something but step forward towards something positive. But it could be harder than one expects, and there's a lot of pain in the separation and tearing apart the fabric of your lives and your relations and families and belongings and all. So my heart goes out to your friend and to all those who are going through those things now, who are many, and we all know how many people in our society get divorced, and the statistics and all, more than 50% of couples getting divorced, et cetera. I think it's very important to recognize, and I don't want to make this into a cliche, but the ancient truths, really, that sort of become cliches, but they're still worth reflecting on, that what doesn't kill us makes us stronger. The ancient truth, what I call the pearl principle. No inner irritation, no pearl gets produced from the oyster. The Tibetan saying that suffering sweeps away negativity and obscurations and softens and opens our heart so we're more empathic and compassionate for the suffering and difficulties of others. And I think these things are very true. So I myself try to go through those stages of facing it and letting go and grieving and feeling sad and moving on and not obsessing about it, so sadness becomes despair. So the sadness becomes hopelessness, despair, or even depression. Joy and sadness are just emotions and energy. Depression becomes a pathology, a real problem. So I hope your friend can get on with this. It's very important to live. You know, even when somebody dies, the only thing one can do is to keep living and going forward. Forgive and remember. Remember the lessons, not just forgive and forget. Forgive and remember so you don't have to repeat the same patterns and learn the lessons. Forgive and remember, that's what I always say. And it's in one's own higher self-interest to forgive, not to carry it around, not to have vendettas and feuds and bitterness in your mind, but to go forward and step into your new life and embrace the suffering joyfully. Not that we wish it on anybody, but what choice do we have? We don't have to hide from it. There's an ancient Buddhist saying, and I know this is steep, but I don't want to just keep going on and on now, but this is worth thinking about, and I share this with you, and I think about it too. There are no unequivocally good or bad things, only the wanted and the unwanted. And that means so much is subjective. We really do create our experience by how we frame it and interpret it. And that's, I found, very helpful to not fall into victimhood and passivity and hopelessness and to achieve self-mastery and a feeling of agency and empowerment and even hope.
I find that the hardest thing, though, is...
There's neither good nor bad, but thinking makes it so would be Shakespeare's way of putting it. That old Buddhist adage, that's what Shakespeare said, but thinking makes it so. So we can learn to reframe and recondition and decondition ourselves in our way of holding and understanding things. That could totally change our life and our world.
But didn't you find even when you're going through the divorce yourself, at that moment, you know, of despair, it's really hard to shift perspectives? And I know you're a Lama, so it's maybe easier for you than most. But how did you let, in your book, you talk about, you know, facing a loss and letting light in. How were you able to do that?
Well, I have a daily practice where I do let the light in of meditation, of visualization, of chanting, of praying for those who are dead and dying and sick. So when you stop focusing on yourself and you think of others, that already clears out some of the obscurations and clutter and barbed wire inside your psyche. And really helps open the heart and mind and body and energy and spirit and soul and include all. And then one is less obsessed or focused or kind of hyper-focused on one's own complaints and disappointments and even pain. So even in the moment, one can practice mindful pain management that way or mindful anger management. So this is what I do. And then also try to cultivate an attitude of mystery, and that we really don't know all that we think we know. I think I heard a Buddhist teacher named the great Vietnamese teacher Thich Nhat Hanh said recently, 80% of what we think is wrong. I laughed when he said that, because I know to everybody it sounds like a lot. I thought to myself, he's being generous. It's way more than that. So I try to take things lightly and not believe my, you know, you just can't believe everything you think today, CJ.
Yeah.
That's what Lama Suri Das has to say. And then you go through the hard times. Nobody said it would be easy. Yeah. But try to keep it simple and real. Keep it real. Nobody says it's easy, but we can keep it real. Authenticity is the essence.
What do you mean by that, though? What do you mean by keeping it real during a time? And, I mean, if that means keeping it real, it means some people are saying, well, how are you today? And you're like, I'm having a crappy day.
Yes, that's one way to keep it real if it's the right time and place.
Yeah.
You know, if it's just a phone operator, maybe you don't have to tell them. It's not the time for a discussion. They're probably in India anyway. You know, and don't care. But, keep it real. Everybody knows when they're faking it. Unfortunately, deceiving ourselves is a little more subtle and tricky. That is an issue, self-deception. But keeping it real and cultivating authenticity, being more present and aware. And keeping it real means when there's a loss, grieve it. It would be insane not to grieve the loss of a parent, a sibling, a child, a limb, you know, a job, a mate, whether it's a death or a divorce or other factors. But what choice do we have? So go through the healthy stages of grieving. That's keeping it real, not pretending it's all okay and you're okay more than you are. And then asking for help as needed.
Yep.
Even asking can be very healing. Whether you get it or not is another matter. Just not having, not pretending a fake self-sufficiency. Or worse, you know, a screw you, goddamn everybody attitude.
Right.
So just keeping a stiff lip doesn't quite do it, you know. It could get petrified.
All right, well, that's what we're going to be talking about in our next segment, is how to keep it real. So thank you so much. And I really do. I know this is kind of trite, but I know you're so authentic and real. I just appreciate it. I really do. So I'm talking to Lama Sayadaw, author of The Buddhist Standard Time. Don't go anywhere, because we will be keeping it real and talking about how to keep it real during these life transitions. If you want to create a happy you and a happy planet, then friend us on Fired Up with CJ on Facebook, and we will get all sorts of great information for you. Lots of gratitude to everyone out there, and we'll be right back.
You know that it would be untrue. You know that I would be a liar.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Are you looking for that special gift that will uplift, inspire, and give a heart a voice to express itself? Let our 365 messages of gratitude box diffused in English and French connect you daily with the essence of gratitude. Open daily a message of gratitude and gracefully move through your day. Offer this gift of gratitude to a hostess, a teacher, a mentor, an elder, or anyone who inspires you to feel gratitude. Visit our Gratitude Living Boutique at explorationgratitude.com. That's explorationgratitude.com.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to AspireMag.net today. No purchase necessary. And live an inspired life.
Steak Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit us at drdarvish.com. That's drdarvish.com.
Disco Down. Is that a Disco Donna Summer song? I think that is. Hello, everyone. This is CJ Liu, and you're listening to Fire It Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. And we are talking to Lama Sayadaw about how to learn and treasure and even savor the moments in life, even the hard ones. Welcome back, Lama Sayadaw.
Thank you very much. It's nice to be back.
So tell us about, we were talking about the Buddhists have this concept of the bardo that you talk about in your book, Buddha Standard Time. Tell us about what the bardo is. And, tell us about what the bardo is.
Bardo is a Tibetan word that in common language, you know, in the zeitgeist, in modern thought today, people understand as the space after birth and before rebirth. Mm. So it may or may not be exactly equivalent to the Western religious concept of the afterlife. But that's what people usually think of as bardo. After you die, the transition state you go through before being reborn. So bardo, because bar means intermediate or intermission or transition.
Mm. Okay.
And go is like way or space. So it's like a transition. It's kind of like after your friend gets divorced or before she gets remarried, she's in a place of many possibilities before, you know, the next reincarnation as like wife 2.0. So I bring that up for, I know people think I'm joking, but I always candy coat the deep teachings because there are different kinds of rebirth, not just after you die in this life. But also it's said that from moment to moment is a rebirth, and there's a bardo in between that you can catch if you're really present and sharp. When you go to sleep at night till you wake up in the morning is a kind of bardo, the bardo of dreams that you could be conscious in and do lucid dreaming, the bardo of dreams, the bardo of meditation after you sit down and stop working and thinking and just meditate and kind of unify, you know, dissolve and unite in the same time. The bardo of meditation before you stand up and kind of awaken for your meditation again, and so on. There are different bardos in that way. The bardo of this life, for example, after birth and before death, is a bardo. It's a big passageway. It's a transition. And to apply the teachings of Tibetan liberation through awakening in the bardo, that famous book, the Tibetan Book of the Dead, Tibetan liberation through awakening in the bardo is another translation. It means awakening in this life and realizing all the freedoms and opportunities we have to direct ourselves upwards, deeper, bigger, more inclusive, less selfish and narrow. The freedoms in this life, in this bardo. So the notion of bardo is like the free space, like the when you hear music, music has timing and the space between the notes is also the music, as some brilliant musician once said, Coltrane or Miles Davis or somebody, or John Cage, who worked with silence brilliantly. So bardo is that like that space between the music that makes the music. So similarly, the bardo is the space after we die and before rebirth, meaning like the state of being or conscious, unconsciousness, whatever, but being in that state. And it's something that we could be clear and conscious of and awaken in if we practice conscious dying and conscious falling asleep and conscious meditation and so on. And we carry our incandescent awareness to light the way through the darkness of these transitions and passageways. So bardo is a very important and almost unique teaching of Tibetan Buddhism. It's not so much found in the other schools of Buddhism. And it may have something to do with the afterlife teachings of Christianity and Judaism. I don't know that much about Islam and their other afterlife things, but Western thought and the afterlife. But the afterlife's a little more fixed. Buddhism and Tibetan Buddhism, since you're asking about bardo, we're talking in this context, is much more cyclical, impermanence. We don't just get to heaven or hell and get stuck there. Everything changes, so everything's evolving. A deeper ecology, a greater recycling, a bigger evolution is the way of the thinking of Eastern thought, of Buddhism, Hinduism, Sikhs, Taoists, Confucianists, etc., the Eastern thought religions and philosophies.
So I'm going back. I'm going to reverse a little bit back to how we can best maximize our time or optimize our time in the bardo. Because Okay. When I've been in Bardo, for when I've been in the transition, being conscious, being awake, keeping the lights on are one of the hardest thing to do because, at least with my own personal experience, and what I find with clients, too, is either they do one of two things. They either try to rush through the Bardo because people don't like the discomfort of being in the Bardo in that period of unknowing, not knowing. Or I see them do the other thing where they wallow and stay in the Bardo
way too
long. So
right.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts?
That's the point.
What's the point?
That's the point. Being aware of what your part in it is, so you can change things for the better. Like, quote, to put it grossly, materialistically, almost to have a better rebirth, to consciously aspire and attend and intend and pay attention, attend and grow and deeper and broader and, you know, go higher, quote, higher in the realm of rebirth, in the cycle of rebirth, so that we become masters rather than victims of karma and conditioning. So it's not like it's all been written, so that we can take hold of our lives and ourselves and find the happiness or the fulfillment and well-being, or the love and enlightenment, whatever, the heaven, nirvana, whatever we're seeking, a better world. And not just be stuck like the eternal graduate students that can never get off campus and are still living that way. And you see some of them in college towns, you know, 40, 50 years old, and they're still graduate students living marginally and sort of being consumers rather than being producers and passing it on to the next generation. We see it with, like, kids that don't want to grow up or people who become, you know, they marry somebody that's just like their parent and they become an adult child their whole life and they can't let go of it's like a state of arrested development. So it's very important for us to cultivate some kind of interiority or self-awareness so we can let go and move on, because the Tao, life, reality, whatever we want to call it, is flow. It's not stasis. It's ecstatic, not static. Everything changes. Heraclitus said it. Buddha said it. Science says it. Electron microscopes and everything else tell us this is science. This is not just belief. So the notion that after we die there's a permanent heaven or hell seems very, very speculative and sort of pre-modern to me. And actually, from pre-modern times, Eastern notion of this greater ecology and cycling and flow of beings, of which rebirth is said to be part of it, seems a little more sound and interesting. Just like I didn't begin when I popped out of my mother's womb, and you didn't either. This is not a matter of mere belief. 5 months before you popped out, you were there. Maybe even 9 months before, I don't know, your chromosomes were there, or your X chromosomes were there, CJ, and from your parents. So there's a lot more deeper we could look into, rather than having just this fixed idea that we begin here and we end there, and I am I and you are you and never the twain shall meet. Not that. So Bard was a great notion of being free and getting in sync with the great cycle and flow of the Tao, of the cosmos, of total energy. Mm. It's a very interesting, timeless and yet timely ecological concept of a greater ecology of us all cycling together and evolving.
So
way before
really
Darwin and his theories of evolution.
So I understand how awareness can get you to the point of saying, you know what, I've been in here too long. If you're really an aware and conscious, you can actually catch yourself in the state of wallowing too much. How about for folks who kind of fast forward because they don't want to be in the don't know category? I mean, I'm one of those people who don't like to not know. So the whole notion of don't know, I can't stand, which you have in your
book. Yeah, well, tough noogies. I'm sorry. You have to go back to start, you know, to go.
I have to go back.
And rethink this. I mean, it's good to seek truth and knowledge and you know, but we're in the over-information age today, CJ. I think we're learning the limits of this kind of knowledge. There's got to be something deeper and more holistic and total than just incremental, you know, unidirectional in learning more and more about things. Like Lao Tzu said in the great Tao Te Ching, To know the world, to know others is knowledge. To know oneself is wisdom. And that's timeless, and that's how we can optimize. That's how we can do an exponential leap in evolution and consciousness, by developing wisdom, by knowing ourselves and thus each other, by recognizing the place where we're not separate, and by awakening together, by realizing that we're all interconnected and so on. Then we don't have to wait for anything, and we can be in the timeless now, not just wait until later. We can be there while getting there, every single step of the way. Enlightenment and awakefulness now.
All right, you're like,
of course, there are techniques to make progress, and while an exponential progress is maybe more challenging than just incremental progress, learning more and well, but in the end, it is a mystery.
I mean, we can speculate
if we talk about in the theistic way. We can speculate about God's omniscience, but in modern times, I think it's very hard to believe that with a straight face.
Yeah. Well, actually,
you know, the mind of God. And even if you're a theist, then they talk about the mind of God. You know, only God knows that. It's not for us to know that much. So maybe that's a way of being humble.
Yeah.
And yet intelligent.
Yes. Yesterday I went to a workshop and people said, why did you come here? I said, I don't know. And they said, because I read your chapter and I honestly, it was authentic. I didn't know why I was there. And they said, what are you trying to get out of it? I'm like, I don't know. I won't know until I actually finish the workshop. And like, well, what, you know, you don't know why you came here? I'm like, no, I don't know. I just read this chapter and I honestly, authentically don't know. And you know what? Actually, it was freeing to not know, and it was, and the mystery unfolded, and it was way better to not know. So,
well, that's great that you could act on that, you know, read it in a book or learn something and act on it, because it's behavior in life that counts. So that's beautiful. It's very gratifying to hear that.
Yes, you know, your book helped me last week. And hopefully my lifetime.
Sometimes people feel like you're getting in their face, or they're giving back, or you're giving back some crap. You know, they ask you like a simple question, like, why are you at this workshop? You say, I don't know.
Yeah.
But if we would go a little more into it, the truth is that nobody knows. There are a million reasons why they came too. Well, though, when you ask them, they'll tell you one tiny piece, like, because my so-and-so gave me a ticket as a gift for my birthday.
Right. Right.
Well, because, you know, I got an email, a flyer in the mail. But that's just one small piece of the whole puzzle. So asserting that that's why they're there is a little limited.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's the ordinary consensus way of explaining things, but it explains very little.
Yes, agreed.
And just like, why are we having this conversation?
Yeah, don't know.
There are a million reasons, a karmic causes conspiring to this, not just because you invited me. Who suggested it to you? Where did you get the idea? You know, maybe a book fell off the shelf and hit you on the head in the bookstore, and it was mine, so you thought you'd better call me and complain. I mean, that might have been the germ of this. Or some other store, equally unlikely story.
Yeah, now I hear you. Well, we actually, you know what? I do know one thing. I know that we have to go on break because I'm getting a note saying, you need to go on break. This is what I do know. So thank you so much, Lama Surya Das. We were sharing some of the ideas in his book, Buddha Standard Time. In our next path, we're going to be talking about purifying our perceptions during transition times. We'll be right back.
Transforming the world one listener at a time.
Hi, Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, and I want to share something amazing with you. If you're sick of information and ready for an extreme transformation, then check out world-renowned energy healer Ann Taylor at FasterQuickerBetter.com. She's been creating miracles in tens of thousands of people's lives for over 16 years, and I'm one of those people. You too can easily do the same by simply listening to her recordings. If you want to miraculously eliminate fears, worries, and negative beliefs, then you owe it to yourself to purchase her amazing package, which includes over 50 pieces of healing work. Thanks to Ann's 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Hurry over to FasterBetterQuicker.com and finally experience the quantum leap in consciousness that you truly deserve.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
The Ascension Foundation, serving to build an interdimensional community. The Ascended Masters invite you to join them in co-creating this mission. Allow the Masters to lead the way in activating the wisdom of your heart consciousness and raising your vibration. You can communicate with them directly by attending apportation events and classes in mediumship, crystal light energy healing, alchemy, master studies, past life regression, and more. For a schedule of classes, workshops, and special events, visit theascensionfoundation.com. That's theascensionfoundation.com.
Welcome back to the Fire It Up with CJ show. I am CJ Liu, and we are honored to have Lama Surya Das here, who is the author of a book called Buddha Standard Time and the classic Awakening the Buddha Within. And today we are going to be talking about the Buddha's teaching, specifically the Diamond Path or the Five Auspicious Perfections, so that you can move through challenging times with more openness by purifying your own perception. So welcome back, Lama Surya Das.
Hi, thank you.
Yeah, so tell us, what there was something again for me that was very freeing and releasing about reading about the five perfections. Can you share with the listeners what they are? And
well, the five perfections or the five perfect endowments, it's a kind of esoteric and inner teaching of Tibetan Buddhism, of the Diamond Way of Vajrayana, Tibetan Buddhism, Tantric Buddhism. And these five remind us how to perceive, how to appreciate the light right here within the darkness and the shadows, how to experience heaven on earth, how to find nirvana right here within samsara, within worldliness, within this gritty, ephemeral, and yet marvelous world that we inhabit and are so part of. And the first perfection, or the first perfect endowment or asset, is to look into the fact, of course, this isn't just something like a dogma you have to believe, but, you know, look into this. Try to see what keeps us from seeing things that this way, as the Buddha perceived it. Like, this is the perfect time. the holy now, the golden eternity right now. This is the perfect time. Not in ancient history when Buddha or Jesus were alive, Muhammad. Not in some future heaven or resurrected time after the Armageddon. But this is the perfect time, and here we are. And then second is the perfect place, that this is the perfect place, here and now. And that we're always now, so why not be congruent or in sync with it? There's no way to be in the past or the future. That's just in our head, in our mind, that we're always in the now, in this timeless time of now. And we remember the past. We plan about the future, but we're always in the now. So this is the perfect place, and this is the perfect time. And there's no other place we could be. Otherwise, we would be. So to appreciate that, that this is the holy land and holy ground in which we stand, and see what, if it's true, and what, if anything, keeps us from experiencing right now. Here I am at home. Why don't I feel, you know, that, I mean, I do feel, but I'm saying one could look into this at home, in my own home, or wish I could live somewhere. Oh, I wish I live in California. Everybody's happy there. Or Hawaii. You know, have you been to those places? Everybody's not always happy there.
Yeah, they're
Who
not.
Knew?
Sure. Sun does not equal happiness. Exactly.
In Seattle, where everybody retires early on their Microsoft stock options and spends the whole time sailing around the nice coast there with the beautiful weather.
All right. You're getting a little bit too close.
I'm in the perfect place. But also, that this is the perfect teaching or revelation, the great, whatever's coming down now, this is it. And to open to it, and to make it into nourishment. This is mana. This mom, whatever's coming down, this is it. The perfect teaching or revelation, the perfect time, perfect place, perfect teaching. And as they say in Tibet, because it was a very ancient, theocratic, priest-led society, the perfect teacher, that the higher power is just perfect, however you want to call it. I use the word higher power because that's nice in English, rather than Buddha, Lama, Guru, divinity. And this is the perfect teacher, teaching, revelation, what's coming down now. And that we are the right people in the right place in the right time. And there's a rightness, there's a justness, there's a lawful unfolding to this beautiful existence right now. So miraculous, so mysterious. So right, perfect time, place, teacher, teaching, or revelation and source. And last, the highest of all, CJ, the hardest, I mean, of all, the perfect student, the perfect person, that you're the perfect person in the right place in the right time. How hard it is to accept that. That I'm the right person in the right place the right time. This is a lawful unfolding. And feel grateful and cherishment and reverential to all the mystery of karmic conditioning and evolution that's brought us to this point, that I could be spending this afternoon here together talking to you rather than doing any number of other things, much more painful, much more difficult. That this is a beautiful thing and a beautiful moment. And that's the real, true import of the teaching of the five diamond perfections, or the diamond rule, as I lovingly call it, of Vajrayana Tibetan Buddhism, the diamond rule. To see the light, the Buddhiness, the divinity, the God or goddess in everyone and everything, every moment, wherever you are. That's the diamond rule, in short, of the five perfections.
Mm. You know, when just hearing you tell me about these five perfections, I even feel different. I mean, I feel like my experientially, I can feel like I'm like my whole body is buzzing at a different level energetically. And I think that probably is what happens if you actually truly in the moment embrace these five concepts, that it brings you to a much lighter place, doesn't it?
Yes. Lightening up and enlightening up. And much less load to carry.
Yeah, that's exactly. I mean, that's
and awakening
exactly
together, means. Not being under the illusion that you have to do it all yourself, but also not expecting anybody to do it for you. So there's a joyful buoyance or togetherness or updraft. There's a wave we can catch, and we're part of it.
Yeah, I love the idea of and when I can remember, I literally say these five things, this is the right place, this is the right. And there's something about it that it just allows you to accept the now at that point. to accept it at that point, not to be anywhere else, to embrace it at that moment. And even when you're not having a great time, to even just embrace that is good, I think. Anyways, those Buddhists, they're smart, aren't they? To come up with these things.
I'm smart. I don't know. I've heard. You know, nothing's perfect under the sun.
Okay,
let's get back to your case. So you'd like those five. So how do you do with the last one, the perfect student, the perfect person? How do you get away with telling yourself that? Accepting yourself that as you perfect, complete, beautiful, gorgeous, glorious as you are. How you doing on that, CJ?
You know what? I have to report happily that I'm doing much better than I've ever done before on that. I actually am beginning to accept myself and love myself. But you know what? It took a lot of time and energy to do that. I mean, I don't think it has to be with every particular person, but for me, I'm really close to getting there, believe it or not. So I do think I'm getting close to being the perfect student. So, alas, joy. Joy. Joy and happiness.
Joy, yes. Accept yourself completely. That's a great, joyous step. And then we can also work to improve ourselves, but accepting where we are while trying to be better people and further a better world, of course.
Yes.
Acceptance doesn't mean complacence and indifference, not at all.
No.
You have to accept the illness, the diagnosis, in order to begin a treatment and a change and a positive transformation. Acceptance doesn't mean giving up and just lying down, being a doormat. Not at all.
Yep. So namaste to you, Lama Surya Das, the author of the book Buddha Standard Time. Namaste means light in me honors light in you. Don't go anywhere and call 800-930-2819, and you too can ask Lama Surya Das the questions. And in fact, you can go to his website as well and ask Lama. Tell us your URL again of your website, Lama Surya Das.
Surya.org, www, and then Surya, my name, S-U-R-Y-A, Surya.org.
All right, so go ask Lama or call us right now because we'd love to hear from you. All right, want to create a happy you and a happier planet? Then friend us on the Fired Up with CJ page on Facebook, and you can get all sorts of great information about this show. So we'll be right back.
I was dealing with anxiety and depression, and nothing seemed to help me. Then I started to work with Dr. Schaub's Breakthrough Program. In just a few sessions, he helped me to finally understand and heal the deeper root cause of my challenges. As a result, I feel more centered and confident than ever before. And now I have the tools which will continue to support me throughout my life's journey. Dr. Schaub's approach has changed my life.
Hello, I'm Dr. Friedman Schaub, and I work with people across the globe to help them break through anxiety and depression and access their true potential. If you are ready to bring back confidence, joy, and meaning in your life, call us to schedule a free phone consultation at 866-903-MIND. That's 866-903-6463. Or visit our website at cellularwisdom.com. That's cellularwisdom.com.
Hey, Mary, I haven't seen you in so long. You look so different. What happened to your glasses? Did you have surgery?
Whoa.
I never noticed how blue your eyes are.
No, I didn't have surgery, and I don't have to wear glasses anymore. I searched the internet, and I found a website. It's called BetterEyesightNow.com. It is the best thing I have ever done. There's a program called Regaining Your Vision Naturally. And, oh, by the way, it helps reduce stress. You should check it out. And you might be able to get rid of your glasses. Go to BetterEyesightNow.com. Are you seeking clarity? Do worries about your health, job, parents, children, or pets keep you awake, tossing and turning at night? Are you considering a major life change? Looking for love? Do you want to create a life of joy? Let psychic Elizabeth Anglin help. Visit ElizabethAnglin.com or call 970-708-4838 to schedule your life clarifying appointment today. Don't waste time being worried. Psychic Elizabeth Anglin at ElizabethAnglin.com or call 970-708-4838.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Everybody, this is CJ Liu, and you're listening to the Fired Up with CJ show on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. And we are very blessed to have Lama Surya Das, who the Dalai Lama refers to as American Lama, here to talk about his book on Buddha Standard Time. Buddha Standard Time. That's the right title, right? I keep on calling it
Buddha Standard Time. Buddha Standard Time, Awakening to the Infinite Possibilities of Now.
So this is the time to ask the Lama any question you want. So call us, 800-930-2819. Don't be shy, because really, do you want me to be asking questions the whole time? I could. I have lots of questions. So I'm going to start off with my question as we wait for people to call. So I want to know, we were talking about your 40 years as a monk in Tibet. And I want to know what you miss about those days as being a monk.
I miss my very dear brethren and sistren. The fellowship, the brotherhood and sisterhood, the sharing, the intentional community, the ashram style. You know, if I say ashram, people have wildly divergent ideas about it, but the intentional living together, the joint project of every day together, the spiritual sangha or satsang, the beloved community, as Martin Luther King called it, of living together and working together and praying and chanting and studying and meditating and being together and eating together and loving together. It's very loving and very, it really taught me what may be my greatest lesson in life, which was and people often ask me what I learned in the sort of famous and mysterious three-day traditional Tibetan Buddhist meditation retreat and Dzogchen retreat and all this. And I always say, you know, there's a lot you could say about that, but the greatest lesson is I learned, and I really more or less integrated, or it became part of me, is that we can love even those we don't necessarily like or agree with. Because it was like being married for 3.5 years in a cloistered monastery to those that you would never choose to live with and be married to, of different countries, nationalities, and languages, and styles, and types. And you start to realize, you know, you could really understand why people have different opinions and where they're coming from. They come by it honestly. And you start to really love and empathize with those, even the ones you wouldn't necessarily like or who wouldn't be your friends in ordinary, competitive, neurotic life. And that love, on the one hand, Buddhic love, Jesus is like love. On the one hand, big love is greater than, on the other hand, the mere polarity, dichotomies of like and dislike. Love is so much greater, and this kind of heart opening has stood me well over the years and decades.
Yeah, I learned the same thing as being a court mediator, believe it or not, where I was in the court in Seattle negotiating small business claims. And you'd hear two parties, and you'd hear their perspectives. And literally, if you can truly put yourself in that other person's perspective, you can see where they're coming from, and you can see all their pain and suffering and how they got there. And you can love them, you know, even if you didn't even agree with them to begin with. But if you really take the time to truly understand them and where they're coming from, you can learn a lot, I think. And I think you can learn a lot about love and forgiveness, and that you can be, you can actually occupy each of those different perspectives yourself, if you allow yourself to. So that's a view. Do you think that that's your karma in life to love even the people that you don't necessarily like?
Yes. I think that's more than karma. I think that that's our journey, our mission. That's how we usher in the kingdom of heaven on earth, as the good book says, as Jesus says, how we become the ushers, not waiting for some Messiah to come later in the future, that we become part of that, that we're all the Messiah to usher in the kingdom of heaven, to get back to the garden, to realize heaven and nirvana here and now, and live more in harmony through that kind of big love. Not that we all become like Swiss cheese and just all agree, you know, cream cheese, all bland and agree with everything and passive, not at all. But there's a lot of room for the rich, nutty, you know, multi flavors of this existence to coexist harmoniously. You know, just like there's enough food in the world to feed everyone and to solve global hunger. But the delivery systems and the greed and competitiveness and all that is what keeps it from being equally distributed. So I think similarly with love, very important. Mm. And of course, love without some kind of awareness or wisdom is sort of blind. You know, like people shoving the truth of love down your throat, proselytizing, missionaryizing. But then on the other hand, wisdom and clarity, knowledge without heart, without soul, without love, is kind of sterile.
Yeah.
Very fruitful. So I think these are two wings of wisdom and compassion, truth and love. Mm. It's very important.
Yeah, there's nothing more than I hate than someone shoving love down my throat. okay.
I love you so much. You must do what I say. And love me, especially.
Okay, I have one other random llama question. All right, so, you know, there are times when I've either been in group or I've had a meditation, and I turned to my husband, I said, my mind was total monkey mind meditation. It was an awful meditation. I was all over the place. So do you have those meditations? Like, were you in the, with the monks and like, oh, yeah, that meditation was all over the place. That sucked. Like, I was thinking about Dahl and all sorts of other things. I mean, do you have meditations like that? Do even monks and llamas have meditations like that?
Yes, everybody does, but not, but it depends on how you relate to it. Like, I've been meditating since 1968, CJ, and every day since 1971 when I started to learn in India, you know, when I really went to a meditation retreat for 10 silent 10-day insight meditation retreat, and then I vowed to meditate every day in front of my teacher who sort of wanted us to do that, meditate an hour every morning, an hour every night. So, you know, then you have a lot of kind of mixed meditations. They're not all good, but you get used to it. It's all part of the process. Let me compare it to something that you probably know about. I think you're married, but whatever. You're not a child anymore, so you've had sex, you have a lot of sex, you know, are all the sex sessions or whatever you call lovemakings the same? No. But in the context of a good relationship, it's all good. That's not to say there aren't bad sex or, you know, or that before you had your perfect relationship with your perfect husband that you perfectly now perfectly have. That, you know, maybe you didn't have bad times or worse, you know. People get raped in this world. That's certainly bad sex.
You know,
I don't make light of it. But in general.
No, I know.
In the context of your loving relationship, that's a beautiful part of your life. It doesn't matter who wins each night. Yeah. As long as it's not always the same person.
This is the first time I've ever heard sex.
Staying in meditation.
Being, but that's a wonderful thing. So thank you. Thank you so much for being here, folks.
Just spoke llama.
You are the best. I have just had so
I'm the Jolly Llama today.
You are the Jolly Llama.
You cheer me up.
Yes, exactly. And LSD, which you use as your, your acronym, Llama Syria does. Truly, buy this book, Buddha Standard Time. It is a fantastic book. Thank you so much for being here. I honestly appreciate it because I know you're heading out to London. So thank you so much for being here.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me and all your beautiful works, CJ. God bless. Buddha bless to you all.
Oh, thank you so much. And folks out there, bless you. Make sure to tune in next Thursday, and we'll be talking to Gene Hayner, who will love you, get you to love the wrinkles on your face, because those wrinkles are wisdom. All right, have a great weekend, everyone. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Fire It Up with CJ. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for more of Fire It Up with CJ. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Transformation Talk Radio, a higher consciousness perspective. The hosts on Transformation Talk Radio offer a positive and new paradigm shift, a new vision for a collective future. They are empowering and helping all of us experience a powerful wave of personal shifts and cultural change as we break through to even greater levels of awareness. Take down our toll-free number, 1-800-930-2819. Call in, connect. Make sure you tap into some of the world's most empowering psychics, healers, and more. Get an on-air reading with the best. Tune in. TransformationTalkRadio.com. Hey, everybody. We'll see you there.